a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. Scott always laments Wednesdays because there's not enough sports on TV.
It's just too far from anything.
It is. It's our island.
I know that there's a Thursday night game, but it's a game. Like, we want games.
And it hasn't happened yet.
I'm kind of a snob. I want a plethora of games.
I like that you're a snob about it, but it also gives us an opportunity to jam on some of the other subjects that we see throughout the week. And one of the things that kind of captured our attention this week was the idea of, and we've talked about this before, at least this, the obsession that people have with gear, with equipment, with the jerseys. And BYU this week rolled out that they're going to be it's not just the jersey thing they're rolling out either. For the 150th anniversary of college football, they're doing kind of a throwback game this weekend against Washington. So it's going to be the whiteout in the stands.
Right.
And that's always a joke because everybody goes, well, it's a bunch of white kids down in Provo. Yeah. And sober down in Provo.
And
the whiteout.
Yeah, white doesn't really get you excited.
Scott doesn't get excited about it. But look, white, that's part of the deal.
Boy,
right?
That's really going to.
Oh, stop it. They're going to be wearing the white helmets with the old school Y on it, a la the 1920s or 1930s when they had that white helmet gear kind of look. They're going to have that helmet midfield. They're going to have the diamond 1960s end zones. And then the uniforms, all white top, white helmet, like I said, and then royal blue pants, which they haven't done in a long time. And this gets everybody all riled up because then people go, hate it, hate that look, don't care for it. What is your thought on the whole obsession that we have now with jerseys and with the gear and with all these things? Because I look at it and I go, everybody freaks out about the blackouts. They freak out about what color shoes people have on. They freak out about whatever is being worn or not being worn by a team when they're playing somebody. I mean, the Utah equipment Twitter page has to put out, here's what we're wearing this weekend. Everybody, does it look okay? Just so the fans will not – I mean, basically, people won't shut up about what the teams are going to be wearing that weekend, and I'm a little over it.
So I'll tell you that gear matters.
Like, I know it does.
No, it's not even like a close thing. Like it might be the most important thing.
What are you talking about? It's the most important thing.
It's the most important thing. Like my son, he's like, look at this cool jersey I got. Look at this. I mean, when he got his football equipment, it was the most exciting thing in the world to him.
Now I remember that.
But let me.
Equipment's different from like the jersey color that weekend.
No. I want to go back to your whole whiteout thing.
Yeah,
why this is so important. First of all, you need blackout. Okay,
they've done it, and historically they haven't done well in the black jersey. So I think they're taking a break on it.
It's BYU. What it does is it creates this unity. Like we're all of this same color, and there's no way that you're going to stop us in any way, and you cannot defeat us. And so it's a complete intimidation factor. It's like, look at all of us here. We are united. every single one of us, all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our fandom, our players. Nobody can stop us because we are all of the same color here tonight, and you're in for it. And I'm just telling you, it has a psychological impact on the other team. And fans love it. They absolutely love it. Where you red today? It's where, you know, it's
right.
There's
Friday,
always,
it's a Friday before yeah. game day. Wear your blue to school. Wear your blue.
No. I'm talking about game day.
Right.
Hey, I'm in the broadcast booth, and I follow protocol.
Protocol. You guys are wearing red up in the booth.
If it's red, if it's red out.
If it's a blackout, you guys are wearing the black shirt. Right.
You're smart.
Well,
Alex,
no, I'm just saying. But they don't do the whiteout of Utah.
I follow the protocol.
They do the whiteout.
They actually have done the whiteout before.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. I think it's not an intimidating color. It's too nice. It's surrender.
It's too nice.
It's, let's wave the white flag. We give up. We surrender. You guys
You'd
are too
make
good.
A, now, I know you have a superstition thing, too. But week in and week out, changing your gear and fans obsessing over whether or not – you know, BYU should be in this color uniform or that helmet. I put out on Twitter earlier in the week, I said, hey, these look a lot like, you know, Yale's helmets, you know, and somebody's like, well, Yale's looks like this. It's a little different. And I just think that people get totally caught up in what they're now, what's being worn. Now, it's a different thing when it comes to the recruiting side of things. Recruiting side of things.
Utah has a Taj Mahal.
It's called that.
They have a player lounge that has pool tables and ping
pong,
and it has luxury seats.
It's a red out every day.
They have a barber shop. They have an amazing locker room. They have an amazing training facility, like physical therapy. Multiple cold and hot pool. I mean, they have the workout area is just like unparalleled.
But nobody cares about those things.
The most important room. Is a green room like we have here, where it's literally has the green walls and the whole thing, and in the middle of it are tables that are set up, and they have all of the gear that a player will get when they come to the University of Utah.
Oh,
it's all the multiple uniform patterns. It's all the helmets. It's the shoes.
It's that cool hoodie that they don't, that you're not going to see anywhere else. It's the gloves.
It's everything.
Yeah. Everybody holds the gloves.
And it is that room. It's more impactful than when they take the recruits to the stadium and they flash their name and their picture up in the stadium on the big scoreboard.
They'd rather have their picture
on Twitter with
the gloves on.
100%.
Right.
Why has it gotten to that? It is the biggest thing.
When you were being recruited, you got one pair of shoes. I never thought about the gear.
It was what it was. I will tell you this. When I was in the NFL, 75th year anniversary of the NFL, okay? And we had the throwback jerseys. And it has the patch on it, 75 years.
Yeah, sure.
And when I first saw it, I go, this is ugly.
And you're part of ugly, how old ugly, were they? How ugly. Old are the Detroit Lions?
They're like a founding member.
One of the original, like that NFC
they
North.
They go back to the very beginning, right?
That NFC North is chock full of a bunch of teams that started the whole thing.
Plain silver helmet, ugly blue jersey.
I thought those were dope. I like those blue jerseys.
Well, I
and
have
just the gray pants. And
I have
just the
all
same thing.
I have all of my jerseys framed from when I played.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have my Lions jersey.
Yeah.
But guess what? I have two Lions jerseys because I framed the 75-year anniversary.
Well, look.
Because it was so unique and it was so special.
And now in 2019, if you were playing now, you'd have had 12 different Lions jerseys.
Yeah.
It's because it's what fans demand now. They want to see their team in a bunch of different setups, a bunch of different helmets. I mean, the NFL doesn't do nearly the amount of crazy helmet changes that college does.
Not the helmets, no. You saw how Antonio Brown was about his helmet.
About the helmet.
He's not alone.
It's very sacred.
I'm just telling you, he's not alone. Don't mess with the helmet.
You talked about that with the superstition thing because you hated changing. You would have hated changing. Like if you
this
lose,
would have drove me
if
bananas.
You lose in the whiteout, oh, you're like, I'm never wearing that again.
Burn it. It's gone. I don't want it. It's out. It's over. See it? No way. Yeah, this would have been hard for me because of the routine of everything and having to go – I have to wear this week.
There's so much money wrapped up in the gear.
It would send me in the loony bin. really, I'd just be like, forget this. I can't cope with this.
Look, and I'll be honest too. I'm just going to do true confession right now as we're doing this. There's a lot of Utah gear, and I'm not a Utah guy, obviously.
But you like it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And look, I'm one of those guys too that would be like, I'll wear that black polo with like the little Utah thing. I'm fine with that.
If you want to talk about gear, that's one thing. They just redid the equipment truck, and it is.
What do you mean the equipment truck?
The truck that takes all the gear.
Oh, the one that takes it, like the one that likes, yeah, the semi. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's cool. The cab is the color of the helmets, and
right.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Bright, bright, bright red.
It is unbelievable. Amazing. What they've done.
All right, we're going to take the break here. When we come
everything,
back.
Everything gear is geared out.
We've got our two-minute drill coming up around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Some things to discuss when it comes to the two-minute drill. I'll have it for you right here. How about people who are now jumping on board of Team USA because they don't want to see what happened at the FIBA World Cup happen at the Olympics next summer? But do you want those guys on your team now? Or were they already showing their non-patriotism for not participating this summer? Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It is the two-minute drill next. Stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.